Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Did you bring your Bibles?
Amen.
Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 1. We're going to do our best to expound verses 27 through 39. I've entitled this morning's message, He Casted Out Demons.
Amen.
He casted out demons. My hope after this study or during this study, that we can ask God to fill us with the power, the same Holy Ghost power that Jesus was casting out demons, that He would use the church. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
One of the things that's lacking today is the power of God in the church. Hallelujah. We need God's power. Amen. We cannot just be religion. It cannot just be we read a Bible study and went home. Hallelujah. We need the power. Say that with me. Power.
Power.
Say it with me. Holy Ghost power.
Holy Ghost power.
That's what we need. Amen. And so let's go to verse 27. And we're going to allow the Holy Ghost to have His way this morning. Amen. And it reads, then they were all amazed. So they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey Him. And immediately His fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Verse 29. Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she served them. Verse 32. Now at evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all that were sick and those who were what?
Demon-possessed.
And the whole city was gathered together at the door. He healed them, many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons. Did you catch that?
Yes.
Cast out many demons. And He did not allow the demons to speak because they knew Him. Uh-oh. The demons knew Him. Look at that. Look at verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, He went out and departed to a solitary place. And there He prayed. And Simon and those who were with Him searched for Him. When they found Him, they said to Him, everyone is looking for you. Looking for you. But look at verse 38. But He said to them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. And He was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. This is all about casting out demons, huh? Hey, He healed the sick. During this time, it had been 400 years of silence from Malachi to Matthew. And throughout that whole time, this region and many other regions were plagued with demons throughout the whole region. Let me just say this. They were around the world. They were in unknown places where the apostles never got to, like during the times of the Mayans and the countries on this side of the hemisphere. Why? Because all the angels had what? That fell from heaven became demons. They became demons. Can I get amen? And so this is something that we're going to look at, and this is something that the church needs to understand, that these demons are still here. Can I get amen? They haven't left. You know what? All Jesus did was move them. Remember they said, it's not time yet. It's not time yet to send us into the abyss. No, so what? He put them in swine, and all he did was cast them out, but they left looking for another house. Can I get an amen? So until Jesus throws them in the lake of fire, they're still here. They're still here. Let me just say this. Those of you that are Holy Ghost filled, you ever get whispers sometimes of doing something that you shouldn't do? That's a demon speaking to you. Can I get amen? A demon will try to make you stumble and fumble. That's his ploy. That's his trick. And if he could get you, if he could get your flesh to ignore the conviction of God, you're going to fall into the trap. And you will sin before God. That's what he wants. See, all he wants to do is have you sin before God. He's the what? Accuser of the brethren. He's up there accusing you. He wants to go, Look at them now. So that's his whole ploy, his plan. He doesn't target. The demons don't target the unbelievers. They target us. Can I get amen? They live to cause havoc with us. The whole thing with the demons, with a satanic being, is to get a believer off track and to get God mad at them, to chastise them. And let me just say this. You keep hearing a demon and you keep doing things that you shouldn't, God will chastise you. But he'll remember the demon that did that. Because they're going to be a triple portion when they get dumped into the lake of fire for harassing you. But God will chastise you here. Can I get amen? That's why the Bible says live with a pure heart, a clean heart. That's right. So let's look at verse 27. Let's go back and break this down. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? What new teaching is this? For with the authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. You see, saints, Jesus' display of authority in the showdown with the demon caused amazement with the people. They never seen anyone deal with the demon. How about the one that was in the Gadarene? How about the one that was chained up? That was cutting himself? They never dealt with anything like that. And so, yeah, let's send them to the sanitarium outside of town, and let's just chain them up. Little did they know that he was filled with many, not just with one, but with many. But they were all amazed. Look what it says in Luke 4:36. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word this is. For with authority and power, he commands unclean spirits, and they come out. My question is, when's the last time you spoke to a demon to come out? You know, the Bible says that he has given us, the church, now all authority. So where's the authority in the church? Look at 9:43. And they were all amazed at the majesty of God. But while everyone marveled at the things which Jesus did, listen, they had every right to marvel. For us, this should be every day we encounter something that God has given us authority. Nothing should ever take us by surprise anymore. Can I get amen? We have the word of God. We've got the power of God. We've got the anointing of God. If we have all those things working in us, we should be able to cast them out no differently. Can I get amen? And so, saints, with a simple and stern command, the evil spirit, it obeyed. and that possessed man was set free. Man, just imagine someone that was in bondage by a demon, wicked spirit. I'm going to say this about me. Can't say it about you. When the custodian led me to Christ at Horizon, I had all the dope on me and everything. I was demon-filled. Every other word was the F-bomb. My mind was in the gutter. All I wanted to do was evil. All I wanted to do was sell dope and sell it to others so that they can get high. But when Jesus came, the light came. Hallelujah. And Jesus cast out that devil out of me. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then the power of the Holy Ghost came in. And did a new thing, did a new work. That's what he's done for a lot of you. That's when it's working. That's when you know, hallelujah, that God has all the authority to do that. The people called Jesus teaching knew they never saw anything like it. But his teaching challenged them. It should challenge us today. Because he taught with authority. He spoke the powerful underworld with authority. Did you know that Jesus went to hell and preached in hell? How many believe that? How many believe that he went to hell and he preached to them? For those of you that don't know that, I have it right up here. Look at this. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring to us God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Whoa! To the abyss. When he died on the cross, he went directly down to the abyss and he preached to the saints of old and he set them free. Did you know many of them came out with him? Woo! And they're with him in heaven? He went and preached the gospel to them in prison. Wow! Thank you, God. We serve a mighty... How many believe we serve a mighty God? And so these people were watching them like this during the time. Man, we got to keep our eyes on this one. But we're going to also see the ones that wanted to destroy Jesus. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the religious folks. See, religious organizations... There's churches right now. You can't go in there and lift up your hands and speak in tongues. Security, escort this one out. They won't let the Holy Ghost in the church. Did you know that? Oh, yes. My sister came from one. Shout them out, yay. You speak in tongues, they'll mob you. Here comes the mob. Escort you out. They don't want the Holy Ghost in there. Wow. People laid up in sin in there. Old folk in there too. So they've been in sin for a long time. look what I found in Luke. We're going to go to the next verse in verse 28. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. So, after he started delivering people, casting out demons, man, you didn't need social media. You didn't need Instagram. You didn't need Facebook. It says his fame spread. You know what that was? They went door to door. Guess what? And these weren't smoke signals. No, his fame. Man, it went everywhere throughout the whole region. And notice when we saw the video on Tuesday, they're Galileans. Everything took place in Galilee. All his disciples are Galileans. Jesus was a Galilean. Look at that. And immediately his fame throughout all the region around Galilee. And so the people who left gathering in the large synagogues in Capernaum. Remember Capernaum? Capernaum right now. God, that's one of the places that Jesus cursed. And right now it's what? It's an outdoor museum. And there's thriving towns around it, and there's no commerce there. Woo! Because they refuse to believe the miracles of God. Chorazin is the second one. What's the third one? Who could think of it? It was Capernaum, Chorazin. So we went and visited them all. And they're all there just old, ancient rubbish. And they're still cursed till this day. Because Jesus cursed them. He said, you're not going to believe the miracles. You're not going to allow me to come and heal and cast out demons. He goes, I curse you to the root. And today they're still cursed. Today. There's no life there. They're just a museum. You go in and go, oh man, there's nothing here but rocks. Rocks and dug up ancient artifacts. That's it. And all around it, there's little towns thriving. Jesus. My. And so he left the gathering of a large synagogue in Capernaum, had witnessed an authoritative, captivating new teacher and an unheard power that they've never seen ever before. Look what I found in Luke 5:15. However, the report went around concerning him. All more and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Man, just imagine. All they had to do was get into his presence. Thank you, God. And so the news spread quickly. Thank you, God. You know what? Their technology was faster than our Facebook. The popularity among the common folk stands in glaring contrast to the religious leaders that chose to oppress the people and to oppose the Lord Jesus. Look at this in Matthew 12:15. Look at this. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Yet he warned them not to make him known. Why didn't he not want to make himself known? Because it wasn't time yet. It wasn't time yet. He had 3.5 years to do the will of the Father. Then he would allow them to apprehend him. So he would always disappear. You notice every time the scribes and Pharisees would come? They had boulders, they threw rocks at him, they cornered him to the edge of the city, and then he would be gone, right? It wasn't time. It wasn't time yet. Praise God. Look what I found in Matthew 15:29. Jesus departed from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, and went up on the mountain and sat down there. Then great multitudes came in, having with them lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they glorified God of Israel. You would glorify God too. Just imagine if you had someone that you knew all their life, they never walked before. And he laid hands on them and they got up. Bones made whole. Spinal cord made whole. Muscles came intact. Got up and started walking again. Woo! Come on, you would marvel too. Can I get amen? Come on, we serve a God. We serve a God that marvels us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Let's go to verse 29 of Mark chapter 1. Here we go. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and with John. And so as the crowd hurriedly dispersed from the synagogue, continued talking among themselves, Jesus and four disciples left their own lodgings. These guys we're mentioning right now. And so they arrived at Simon and Andrew's home. Jesus and the disciples, saints, they probably stayed there during the visits to Capernaum. Look what we find in the next chapter of Mark. Look at this. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Just imagine, it was like sardines in there. That's what it says. There were so many, no longer room to receive them. Somewhere down the road is when they, what? They opened up the roof and they dropped down one of their friends because they couldn't get in the door no more. Now that's faith. That's faith. So let's move on to verse 30 and 31. But Simon's wife, mother, lay sick with a fever. And they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left. And she served them. Wow. She served them right when she got well. She goes, oh no, I need 7 days of rest now. That fever left. She got up and served. I would too. Come on, they didn't have no PPO and HMO back then. They didn't have none of that. Jesus came. She was in bed burning with a high fever. And so when Jesus went to the mother-in-law's bedside, all he did was take her by the hand and he helped her sit up. And then once that fever broke, she went and made him some carne asada. She made him a meal. Could have been birria. I don't know. The Lord. Did you know the Lord has given the same power to lay hands on someone? Huh? Do you believe that? You have to believe that. All authority has been given to the church. That's right. Look in Mark 3 right up here. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted. And he came to him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him, that they might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. Hallelujah. When Jesus went back to the Father, he sent the Holy Ghost here. And now we have that same authority. Amen. We have that same power. Can I get an amen? Woo! When's the last time you had a desire to go pray for someone? To watch them be healed? Somebody that you know that every other word is the F-bomb. Someone's hands need to be laid on them. Can I get an amen? Cast out that mocking demon. That perverted demon. I was telling my brother Dale, we were talking about this, and I told my brother Dale, it was 2 days ago, I said, you know what? God did a great, he did so many miracles for me. Delivered me from dope, alcohol, restored my mind, gave me a mind to go back to school, you know, got my real estate license the same year I got saved. I go, but the greatest miracle to me, and it was instantly, when the custodian led me to the Lord, is that I couldn't swear no more. It's like he deleted every word that it was my vocabulary. Bleepity bleep. Bleepity bleep. Bleep 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 bleepity bleep. Come on, you know how it used to be. That was the greatest miracle. And to God be the glory on this. He took away everything but that. Yeah. when he took away the language, man, thank you, God. Well, this is what he told his disciples so that we can be assured that everything that he had at that time, he has passed it on to us. There should be no excuse. Can I get amen? Look at this in John 14. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also.
Yeah.
What? And greater works than these he will do. Say that with me. Greater works than these he will do. God is saying, greater works you shall do. Because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will what? Hallelujah. Let's just take a minute right now. Lift up your hands right now. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and say, Father, fill me with your power, with your anointing. Greater works, you said, God, that I would do in these last and evil days. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Fill me, Lord, with your power, with your anointing, with your grace and mercy. And use me this day, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Come on, give them a shout. Hallelujah. You got to believe by faith that God has given you that authority. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's move on to verse 32 of Mark chapter 1. Now at evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. The whole city was gathered together at the door. And so the people came to Jesus. Guess when they came to him? On the Jews' forbidden day. What is their forbidden day? The Sabbath. Jesus didn't care about their cartoons. Come on, he didn't care about a religious day. Matter of fact, I remember he spoke to one of them and said, wait a minute. If your horse falls in the ditch and breaks his leg, aren't you going to go get him? Or are you going to wait a day later because it's the Sabbath and just let him suffer and then put him down and die? How idiotic is that? Just imagine if your wife or your husband was internally bleeding. I'm sorry, it's the Sabbath. Can't help you. I'll call 911 tomorrow morning when the sun sets. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Lord. How idiotic was that? And so, the day had been the Sabbath, their day of worship and rest, lasting from sunset, from Friday sunset to Saturday. So the Jewish law, saints, prohibited traveling, carrying burdens on the Sabbath. So they waited until sunset. So look what Luke says right up here. Look at this. Luke 6:6-11. Look at this. Now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely. Oh, look, they got all eyes on him now, huh? They watched him closely. Let's watch this boy. I'm going to watch this boy. Look at this. That they might find an accusation against him. They weren't there being blessed. They were there to conspire. They were there to belittle. They were there to destroy what God was doing in the midst of his people. Watch out who comes in your sphere of influence. Watch out who walks into your house. Watch out who walks into your church. Can I get an amen with another doctrine?
That's right.
With another teaching. Hallelujah. That's why you need to be in your word.
Yes.
Thank you, God. Look at this. And it says, he would heal on the Sabbath that they might find an accusation against him. Look at verse 8. But he knew their thoughts. Thank you, Jesus. You know, God knows all the thoughts. He knew their thoughts, and he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Arise and stand here." And he arose and stood. Then Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" You see, Jesus knew how to put them in a corner. Jesus knew how to say, checkmate. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes. Look at this, verse 10. And when he had looked around at the ball, and he said to the man, "Stretch your hand out." Look at it, stretch it out. And he did so. And his hand was restored as whole as the other. But they were filled with rage. What? These Pharisees and Sadducees were filled with rage instead of saying, "Glory to God." He got his hand back. It was withered. It was like, you know. And discussed with one another what they might do with Jesus. What? What they might do with Jesus? Instead of giving God the glory and the honor and the praise, we got to find a way to condemn them. Wow. Did you know that there's churches today, they don't believe in healing. They believe that healing, speaking in tongues, the gifts of the Spirit went out with the apostles. When you go visit churches, you need to check their manifest. You got to check what they're about, what they believe in. Before I step in, I want to know what they believe in. Can I get an amen? You go in there and start lifting up your hands and start worshiping, and then you go into tongues, and then you got a mob apprehending you, escorting you out. After the sun went down, the Sabbath was over, saints, and the people searched for Jesus. The Greek word for brought means to carry. Many of the sick and demon-possessed people were literally carried to Peter's home so that they could be healed. They were carried there. They knew that Jesus could touch and heal them, but not the religious folks. They were the troublemakers. These men were so prideful, so dead in their spirit. Jesus said that they were going to have double punishment in hell. Because just imagine how many they fumbled and stumbled. Just imagine how many people they swayed away from Jesus. Wow. That's why be careful who you hang with. There's some folks, they're up to just no good, and they want you to be with them to do that. And they don't care. There's a spirit behind it. The crowd was so huge that it appeared that the people from all over Capernaum, it had gathered there. They were all gathered there in Capernaum. This was no unruly mob. The people had come on a mission and were there to stay until the mission was accomplished. People wanted to get saved and healed. Can I get an amen? Let's move on to verse 34 of Mark chapter 1. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they what? They knew him. You see, Jesus patiently healed the sick people. He had compassion. You know, Jesus had so much compassion. And there was no disease that took Jesus by surprise. None. What was the cancer of the day during this time? What was it called?
Leprosy.
It made you all distorted. Cankers all over. Your spit would turn into green, just drooling stuff, and the person stunk. I was reading what Josephus wrote, the people that had that. It was a horrible, horrible thing. That's why they had to encamp them outside of the town and keep them there because of the stench. That disease It turned their flesh into a cesspool of stench. And it distorted their face. And so no one would want to get close to one. Except Jesus. Jesus' authority over demons continued to be revealed as he ordered many demons to come out from the victims that he brought. Look what I found here and further up in chapter 5. Look at this in Mark 5. Then he came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with what? Unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains. What? They couldn't even chain this boy down. That's how violent he was. Look at verse 4. Because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him. This guy has supernatural strength. And the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying out, cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. Wow. He wanted help. He wanted help. Look at this, verse 7. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." Now, this is not the man speaking. Who's speaking? For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Look at verse 11. Now a large herd of swine was feeding near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine, that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. demons. 2,000 swine out there, but 2,000 demons. Look at this. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. Let me just say this. Jesus warned. He warned to believers. When we get saved, he sweeps the house. And then the Holy Ghost comes in. But if you purposely in your heart start sinning against God again, he will remove his spirit from you like he did King Saul, and 7 wicked more will come in. You thought you had a demon before you got saved? 7 wicked more will come in and torment you. 7 wicked more. Look at this. There was 2,000 of them in that man. Torment. That's why he had that ungodly supernatural strength. You see, a demon needs a body. It needs a body to host it. That's why the warlocks, witchcraft, idolaters, worshippers of Baal, worshippers of Centeria. You know anybody in Centeria? Witchcraft, voodoo, all that. They open up their soul for demons to go in. And many of them go in. I was praying for someone at an altar. And we were told in our Sister Daria taught it. The healing rooms. Keep your eyes open. keep your eyes open when you're praying for someone. I was praying for someone. I'm not going to say who it was because you probably all know. And I seen the eyes, the pupils. It was like really quick. It turned into lizard eyes and then back to normal. I go, that's a demon in there. There's a demon in there. It was real quick too. And this person was a dope fiend. There's demons in there. And today's church, oh, don't judge them. We're supposed to love them. No, you're supposed to cast that demon out. Can I get an amen? Lay hands and cast it out. They don't know they have a demon in them. Help us, God. Jesus, help us. Help the church today. Help us, God. Time is running out. We're running out of time now. Jesus, help us. Look at this in verse 14. So those who fed the swine fled. They told it in the city and the country. They went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had demon possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. I'd be afraid too. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon possessed about the swine. You see, when God delivers you, he does a good thing. Can I get an amen? Amen. He gives you your mind back. Did you see? Look at that. He had his right mind back. I shared it with you. When that demon left me, God gave my mind back to me. I was able to go back to school. He gave me a mind of a college grad. I was able to comprehend. I was able to take a broker's test, which is very, very difficult. Because of what he did. He gave me my mind back. Thank you. And I'm ever so thankful. How many so ever so thankful? Come on, give God a shout to be ever thankful for what God has done. Jesus simply had to just command the demon to come out. And it obeyed. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Demons tremble at his name. Let's move on to verse 35. In the morning, having risen, a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed. Notice Jesus, after he would do his deliverance services, after he would go in and pray, deliver, heal, cast out demons, he'd always go and find a place to pray. Look at this. I found this. Number one, after the successful ministry in Capernaum, with the healing of many sick and demon-possessed people, he went to pray. He went to pray. Number two, after the miracle of feeding more than 5,000 people, he went to pray. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, just prior to his arrest, trial, and crucifixion, he went to what? Pray. So what did he pray about? What he prayed about should be our prayer. Yes. And you know what that prayer was? Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Yes. Let your will be done in my life, God. Use me, oh God. Yes. Use me, oh God. Allow me to preach and teach and share. Help me raise up souls. Help me baptize them. Help me, God. Never let me be ashamed of you, Jesus. Wherever I go, use me, Lord, to proclaim you. In the name of Jesus, in the powerful, mighty name of Jesus. He constantly needed strength from his father. Going into the wilderness alone with the father, it helped Jesus focus on the task and gain strength for the task that was about to take place. And that task, the last task, was what? The crucifixion. 3.5 years, all he did was cast out demons, healed the sick, and preached to multitudes, fed thousands of people. But the day would come. Can I get amen? And he showed us why he came to set us free. Let's move on to verse 36, 37, and 38. They all tie in together. Here it is. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." Apparently, thanks to God, the people in Capernaum continued to arrive at Peter's home. You know, when you go to Israel, in Capernaum, they got this little makeshift house and said, "This is Peter's house." It could be, it could not be, we don't know. But we know that synagogue was a real synagogue. And it's all beaten up and tattered and shattered. You paid 10 shekels to get, no, four shekels to get into the place. That's equivalent to a dollar. It's 4 shekels to a dollar. It's just an outdoor museum now. It says, "Welcome to the town of Capernaum." But one thing that we saw with our own eyes, because Capernaum is right there by the Sea of Galilee, when that storm came in. The waves. In this lake, it looked like you were in the ocean. Now we know why the disciples were so scared and say, "God, we're going to perish." And then, within a moment's time, it was calm as day. It was like glass, looking at glass. That place is amazing. So Jesus had a mission to fulfill. They brought many. They brought many of the sick there to do the will of God. But many also needed to hear the preached word of God. Did you know that Jesus was one of the best preachers around? He just didn't heal and cast out. He preached. Jesus was a preacher. Hallelujah. How many can't wait to hear him preach? From what I understand, the way we're going to communicate in heaven is not through our mouth. Because we don't need lungs. We speak because we need our lungs to bring forth our sound and our breath. It's going to be what? Mind to mind. Similar, yeah? He's going to just speak to our brain. Isn't that something? Because there's no air to breathe up there. We're not going to have lungs like we do down here. It's going to be a totally different being. But we're going to be more alive than ever. And filled with joy. Filled with joy. How many can't wait to be filled with all the joy? So he would not be deterred from his mission to preach the good news to many people as possible. His primary mission was to bring people to a place of decision to have faith in God. Look what I found right here in John 6:35. And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe." He was telling the Pharisees that. "All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means what cast down." You see, when he came to you, we came to him, didn't we? We're here because he came to us. We didn't walk away from him. We didn't deny him. Look at this in verse 38. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all that he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up on the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that anyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. Praise God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. This scripture baffles the Arminian doctrine. The Arminian doctrine that says that you could lose your salvation. He says that all that the Father gives me, I'm not going to lose one. Huh? See, I always go back to those folks. I go, your argument is not with me. Your argument is with Jesus. He said it, not me. And yet they still are convinced. Help us, God. So we go to our last verse. And then we close. Verse 39. And he was preaching in their synagogues and through all Galilee and casting out demons. Casting out demons. You see, Jesus and the disciples, they left early, the early morning bustle of Capernaum. They left it behind and began preaching and healing throughout the whole region. That was the mission. The Romans had divided the land of Israel into three separate regions: Galilee, Samaria, and Judea. Galilee was the northernmost region, an area about 60 miles long and 30 miles wide. Jesus did much of his ministry in this area, an ideal place for him to teach, because there were over 250 towns concentrated there with many synagogues. Jesus' action of expelling demon saints verified his authority and power and showed compassion to those who had been possessed and by Jesus' word had been set free. Praise God. Praise God. Well, saints, this will conclude our message this morning, but I'm hoping that those who are watching right now on Facebook and YouTube, maybe you've never given your heart to Christ. Maybe you logged in by accident, but you're listening. God has called you from your mother's womb. And it's time now. It's time now to come to the Lord. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. Are you that chosen one? You'll know by asking God to come into your life, receiving Christ by faith. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here right now to pray with me, to pray for you, that you may give your heart to the living God by faith. And so all you have to do is pray and obey God. Pray with me right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for all my sins. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Woo. Is he worthy?
Amen. The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.